Good morning, Scott. This is Stephen Curtis Chapman calling you.
Hi, Scott. I'm Michael Steed. How are you?
Hi, Scott. This is Hillary Scott.
Hey, Scott. David Kenneman from Bonner.
Hi, this is David Lee from Hillsong Worship. Hello.
Scott, it's Toby, man. What's up?
Hey, Scott. This is Blake. I'm in favor.
That was just a great interview. I love listening to your interview, Scott. You really get personal with them, and that's too cool.
Start your day with Scott. Weekday mornings on SOS Radio.
Lee Strobel's story stands out. For years, he proclaimed himself to be an atheist, but God changed his heart when he was working as an investigative reporter with the Chicago Tribune. And today, he's one of the nation's leading apologists, and he loves to share the story of how Jesus changed his heart. He's joining us today at SOS. How are you, Lee?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's wild, Lee. Back when I was like 19, I took this class at Eastern Michigan University. It was called The Bible as Literature. Probably the hardest class I took as an elective, and it should have been called Biblical Criticism. It was a state university. The professor, I think he was like a Jewish scholar, and he would just ask all these tough questions about passages from the Torah, and then he'd eventually get around to answering those. But when we got into the New Testament and the Gospels, he never answered like any of them. He just ripped them apart, and we'd have to flesh them out. So during that time, I actually came across your book, The Case for Christ, where you interviewed all these different Bible scholars and experts on biblical writing. And I would look the guys up that you interviewed. I'd look up people like J.P. Moreland or Philip E. Johnson or Peter Kreft. And I would actually look those guys up online on the website of their university and email them questions. And a lot of them would email me back and we'd have good dialogue because of your book.
That's awesome.
It helped me through a really tough time when I was going through the whole academic side of growing up in the church and professors throwing all these weird questions and social issues at you and trying to flesh through all that. What was your story, Lee?
Yeah, I mean, I actually did as well. When I was undergraduate at the University of Missouri, I took a course on the historical Jesus that was taught by a skeptic, and he pretty much tried to convince me that you can't trust the New Testament. And, of course, I was an atheist at the time, so that fit in well with my worldview. But it was later, after my wife became a Christian, that I decided to use my journalism and legal training to systematically investigate the claims of the New Testament and came to quite different conclusions that the New Testament is trustworthy in terms of what it tells us about the life, teachings, miracles, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and as well as sources outside the Bible confirming and corroborating key points of the Bible. And I came ultimately to faith based on the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus.
It's funny how there's head knowledge and there's heart knowledge. And we're talking with Lee Strobel today at SWS Radio. We're talking about really investigating the claims that Jesus made. And to a lot of people today, we think, oh, we want Jesus just to be nice. We want Jesus just to be loving. And there's the grace part, but there's also the truth.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
A both and sort of thing that culture doesn't want to hear.
Yeah, that's exactly true. I mean, we like to talk about God being love, but, you know, he's also holy. He's also just. He's also pure, and we're not. And, of course, that's created a separation between us and God that can only be bridged by the cross of Christ. But we do have good historical data, for instance, for the resurrection of Jesus. That's what ultimately brought me to faith, the evidence inside and outside the New Testament that established that Jesus not only was surely dead after being crucified, but the early reports we've got of the resurrection that come too early to be legendary, plus the empty tomb, which even the opponents of Jesus admitted was empty. And then we have, in terms of eyewitness accounts, we have 9 ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament confirming and corroborating the conviction of the disciples that they encountered the resurrected Jesus. So we've got really an avalanche of historical evidence that points toward the truth of the Christian faith.
You know, Lee, when people say God who's described in the Old Testament is one way and people say that the God described in the New Testament is significantly different, as you've investigated the claims of Jesus, what have you learned about the way that God's described differently in the Old and New Testaments?
Well, you know, if people like to say, well, the God of the Old Testament was a violent God. Well, you know, the most violent book of the Bible is the book of Revelation, talking about the coming judgment and so forth. So really, there's a consistency in the Old Testament and the New Testament about its description of God. The number of times that the word love is used, for instance, in the Old Testament versus the New Testament is consistent. I actually deal with this in my book, The Case for Faith, where I have an interview with Dr. Norman Geisler on this issue, and he points out the consistency between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Maybe you saw the movie The Case for Christ or read the book. Well, we're talking with Lee Strobel today at SOS Radio. Recently, Colorado Christian University announced the launch of the Lee Strobel Center for Evangelism and Applied Apologetics. Now, Lee, you spent a lot of time investigating the claims of Jesus, and that ultimately changed your heart. But now, you really have a passion for teaching and sharing the hope of Jesus with others.
Yeah, I really do. And this new center at Colorado Christian University is going to be offering online courses on an undergraduate level, a certificate level, and on a graduate level to help people be effective communicators of the truth of Christianity in popular culture. We talk about applied apologetics, and by that we mean we don't want to create ivory tower academics. We want to create people who are using apologetics, which is, of course, evidence and reasons to believe that Christianity is true, in the marketplace of ideas, in the media, in entertainment, online and so forth, and in personal relationships. We're wanting to train people who are going to be sharing Jesus in a natural way that syncs up with their personality and being able to defend the faith in a way that everyday people can understand.
You know, it's so interesting when we have a discussion with someone at work who doesn't believe the same way we do about Jesus. You know, we want to share our story. We want to, well, quote unquote, evangelize. And sometimes it just feels like it's overwhelming. But what have you learned about what sharing your story really is and how just to cut through to someone who really is a skeptic, that their heart doesn't really seem super open to ever even wanting to know about Jesus?
Well, I think it's important that we share Jesus in a way that syncs up with who God made us to be. In other words, I think the expectation is that we're going to be doing it like you do it or like Billy Graham does it. And the Bible has different styles of evangelism that are portrayed in the New Testament. And you don't have to do it the way that I do it. I can do it in a way that syncs up with my personality. I tend to be a storyteller, and so I have a testimonial style where I tell my story of going from atheism to Christianity, and I tell some of the evidence that convinced me that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Other people have a relational style. Some have an intellectual style. Some have a serving style. Some have an invitational style. There's a variety of different ways that people share their faith in the New Testament. And so one of the things we're going to be doing at our Center for Evangelism and Applied Apologetics at Colorado Christian University is helping people discern, what is my style? How can I share Jesus in a way that reflects who he made me to be, that syncs up with my character and my personality? And as we do that, people are liberated. They find that, oh my goodness, I can be me, and I can share my faith in a way that's natural. We had one woman named Julie who came through our training. She had never shared her faith before. She was an introvert. She thought you had to be an extrovert to be able to do it. And when we showed her that she has a relational style, she's great at building relationships with people, and we showed her how to share her faith as part of that, she led 18 people to faith in that following year. This was a woman who had never shared her faith before. So it really does liberate us when we realize, I don't have to do it like you. I don't have to do it like Billy Graham. I can just be me.
We're talking to Lee Strobel today at SOS Radio. Recently, Lee, you wrote a book called The Miracles Answer Book. And a lot of times we're just thinking, oh, is God still in the miracle business? I don't feel like he does miracles for me, but I see what he's done through the stories of the Bible, and I want to experience those things.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what prompted me to write the book, because I came to faith through the historical evidence for a miracle, which was the resurrection of Jesus. But I had the same question, is God still doing miracles today? So I spent 2 years investigating the supernatural. And my conclusion is, yeah, he is still involved today. He is still doing miracles. In fact, I commissioned a survey, scientific sampling of Americans, and I found that 38% of American adults say that they've had at least one experience they can only explain as being a miracle of God. Now, if we were to eliminate 99% of those claims and say, no, it was really just a big coincidence, let's eliminate 99% of those claims. That would still mean that we're 1 million miracles just in the United States. So he is still in the miracle business, and in the book I document not only scientific studies that have backed up the miraculous, but also several documented cases for which there is no natural explanation. The only explanation is that God has intervened.
So as you spent a couple of years really studying real miracles, what did God show you that just blew your mind, Lee?
Well, that number one, miracles are still happening. Number two, that they happen more frequently than I thought. And number three, that there is better documentation for miracles than a lot of people think. A lot of skeptics believe that, oh, no, this is just stuff that people, you know, talk about or they make anecdotal claims about. But the truth is we have well-documented miracles where we have medical records, where we have doctors testifying to this, where we've got multiple eyewitnesses who have no motive to deceive. You know, these things are, if you look at them and you just scratch your head and you say there is no explanation other than God intervening.
We're talking about God still being in the miracle business with Lee Strobel today at SOS. And in the Old Testament, especially in like books like Judges, you know, it's real cyclical. You know, people disobey, they fall into judgment, they repent, God forgives them, and the cycle seems to start all over again. But the fact that God's relentlessly pursuing each and every one of us one time after another is almost like a miracle in itself.
Well, you know, you could say that the way that God transforms lives is miraculous. I mean, I look at my life, having been a narcissistic, heavy drinking atheist who denied God and lived a life of self-fulfillment, and I look at how he transformed my values, my character, my worldview, my morality, my priorities, my relationships, my marriage. I mean, that's a pretty miraculous thing right there. But I think the best definition of a miracle comes from Richard Pertill, who's a philosopher. He says a miracle is an event brought about by the power of God that is a temporary exception to the ordinary course of nature for the purpose of showing that God has acted in history. So this answers the question a lot of people ask, well, aren't miracles impossible because they violate the laws of nature? And the answer is no, that's just a misunderstanding of miracles. If I have an apple in my hand and I drop it, the law of gravity says it's going to hit the ground. But if I have an apple in my hand and I drop it and you reach in and grab it before it hits the floor, you're not violating the law of gravity. You're not overturning the law of gravity. You're merely intervening. And if we have good evidence that God did create the world, he did create the laws of nature, which in my book I set forth, then it's logical that he would be able to intervene in the creation that he himself created in order to perform a supernatural feat. So miracles don't violate the laws of nature. They're merely interventions by God.
I know it was wild. I was in an astronomy class in college, and I remember the professor saying, you know, when I was in college in the 1970s, we knew that the Earth was 4.4 billion years old. But now we have some new information. Now we know it's about 4.6 billion years old. And I'm like, my hand's going up. So wait a second. So, you know, in just a few decades, we realize we're 200 million years wrong. He's like, no. We're just studying the patterns in science. That's why we embrace the scientific method, because we need consistent, measurable patterns. And I was like, see, that's why culture doesn't want God to even be able to step in, because they want to be able to prove and own and just follow simple patterns. And that's why we reject miracles probably, right?
Well, yeah, and yet we see in physics, in cosmology, that is the origin of the universe and so forth, we see persuasive scientific data that points toward the existence of a creator. He is the best explanation for the universe as we observe it today. And because we have evidence that he did create the universe, then it makes sense that he can intervene, that a virgin birth or walking on water would be like child's play to someone who brought a universe into existence.
Well, we're talking to Lee Strobel today at SOS Radio. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today, and congratulations on the Lee Strobel Center for Evangelism and Applied Apologetics that just launched at Colorado Christian University.
Well, I appreciate that. God bless you, man.
And when do the classes start?
We'll be starting next fall of 2020.
Very cool. Well, thanks for checking in today, Lee.
My pleasure. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the SOS Radio Podcast with Scott Harreld. If this discussion encouraged you, feel free to share it with your friends on social media.